May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Each week at service, we're given one of those bulletin inserts with prayer and the readings and the psalm. The first prayer on there, if you look at it carefully, is called a collect. And it collects a thought and gives us a focus on a particular aspect of the majesty or sometimes the wonder of God. Sometimes it collects a thought and gives an aspect and a focus on the work of Christ. And sometimes it collects a thought and gives a focus and an aspect on the workings of the Holy Spirit. It collects a thought. And then the intention is that the lessons that come after the collect are intended to illumine and to explain that thought. So today in our collect, we prayed that we would follow in the blessed steps of the most holy life of Jesus. That's a pretty tall order for anybody, especially today in the reading of the gospel. We see the steps of Jesus taking him into a world that no Jew would ever go voluntarily. See, Jesus had just had a flaming row with the Pharisees. And the row was over what is it that really defiles a person? And the Pharisees said, well, it's what you eat. And Jesus said, it's not what you eat. It's not what you put inside of you. It's what you say. And it's what you do. And it's even what you think. That's what defiles you. And they locked horns and got into this flaming row, and Jesus was concerned about his safety. So he moved to the place of safety from the Pharisees, which was Gentile country. Jesus went to the land that was outside of his normal territory, to a people that were not of his own kind. And while he's there, this woman comes and she cries out to him. And Jesus did something very uncharacteristic of Jesus. He ignored her. He was silent. You know, there's a saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Oh, this woman was scorned. Because Jesus ignoring her really fueled her fire. Because she then turns to the disciples and starts to get on them, nagging them, and they come to Jesus and in desperation say, send her away, she's driving us crazy. And Jesus turns to the woman and he says, I can do nothing for you. You are outside of my realm. You're outside of my circle. You're outside of my nation. And you're also outside of my mission. Strange words. But the woman persisted. And she persisted. She persisted enough until she got a response and her daughter was healed. This is a real strange story, uncharacteristic of the Jesus that we know. And there's been much written about this story. It's thought to be a story about persistence in prayer. Never take no for an answer. It might be both these things and much more. But I believe that the answer and the clue to this story lies in the words of the prophet Isaiah that Emily read to us. God, through Isaiah, tells his children that my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The words of the psalmist that we said together. Let all the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. I really believe that this story from the gospel this morning is a fundamental call to all those who call themselves followers of the way of Christ to look to those territories that they do not consider their territory. To look to people who we do not consider to be our people. You see, what happens, and it certainly happened in the early church as we read through the letters of St. Paul, is that because of Christ, a group of people get together and they get to know one another and they begin to trust one another and they begin to do some stuff together. We call it community, and that's highly commendable. But if it is Christian community, it has to be different. And what I mean by that is that Christian community is not only concerned with our relationship with Christ and our relationships with other Christians. Christian community has to be constantly looking beyond itself. You see, a Christian community never arrives. We never get there. We never arrive. Because Christian community always has a mission. And the mission is for us to show Christ to the world and to bring the world to Christ. A Christian community believes that no matter what situation anybody finds themselves in, Christ can and will make a difference. And if ever a Christian community stops believing that, then it is time to lock the doors, pack up our bags, and go home. The community of faith must always be a community with a mission. You see, the community of faith is not a gathering for people to live in safety. Now, this is a safe place. But this is not a place of escape. It's a community that's been entrusted with a mission. And God trusts us. God trusts us that we will each be bearers of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. God trusts us. You know, one of the great problems today is that the church, and not just the Episcopal Church, but the church, is becoming very inward looking. It worries about its survival. It's concerned with its hierarchical structures. It argues and squabbles about who is right about Scripture. We worry about which allegiance to which flavor of liturgy we have.
Thanks, Gordon.
And the world outside looks at us and goes, yeah, right, look at them. No wonder the world outside questions the effectiveness of the community of faith. Because at times the church seems like Jesus in Gentile country. Silent. And our church today is silent when the world of God needs the word of God the most. We're people with a mission. We are asked to be the salt of the earth, to bring some flavor to the life of those folks out there. We're asked to be the lights of the world, to go out there and give an element of light to the darkness that people are living in. And all of that does not take place in some far-off place. Right here in our community, there is an elderly lady who never gets any visitors, not one. Right here in our community, there's a teenage girl being abandoned by her family and even by her friends because she's pregnant. Right here in our community. There are families unable to pay their bills because of sickness. There's an alcoholic with nobody to turn to. There's a drug addict who's turned to stealing to support her addiction. There's a family trying real hard to break a cycle of child abuse. And that list can go on and on and on, but the point of it is the world needs mission right on our doorstep. Outside of these walls is Gentile country. Inside of these walls, we gather as a community of faith. What God asks of us is that we go into Gentile country, to a territory that may be unfamiliar to us, to people who may be different to us, but to go. To go and be as Christ to them. Not silent, but with a mission. I started off by talking about the first prayer called the Collect that we say at the beginning of the service. At the end of the service, we are dismissed. Donna tells us when she's here to clear off, to go, you know, very politely. Okay. But we're told to clear off, get out of here. We are told to go because the mission does not take place here. We gather to worship. And when the worship has ended, then the service begins. Out there, in Gentile country. And you know what? Who knows? Who knows what faith we might find out there in Gentile country? Amen.